Before I begin my message, I'd like to give a little public service announcement. We do have a cleaning crew, and I've already volunteered. I don't know why I did, but I already volunteered and told them that I would take it for them tonight so that they wouldn't have to come in late on Saturday night and clean things up and be ready. So that's already been taken care of, so nobody needs to stay and to clean, to set up chairs, to vacuum rugs, and to do all that because it's already been worked out and it's already been taken care of. However, if you want to demonstrate this idea of loving one another, and if you love me at all, if you want to demonstrate, I have an opportunity to demonstrate what Michael was preaching about, as far as not backing off or hobbling along, but getting an opportunity to do a good work, then you're free to assist me in cleaning the church and setting it up. If you don't feel the need, then you're welcome to just go home. But I wanted to give you an opportunity for ministry, and anybody that wants to can. If you don't, we'll probably think poorly of you, but that's all right. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Now I have my outline here, so if I get to coughing so hard I can't preach, then one of you guys just come up, pick it up, improve it, whatever you need to do. Look at Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. There's several things that we could emphasize in this particular passage right here, and of course this is tied in with some of those things that Paul was talking about in the book of Philippians, some of the things that he was trying to instruct them on and get them to understand. We could focus on Paul's testimony himself, the fact that he could say, those things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And we could focus on that, and that'd be a pretty tough ride, you know, because the old adage is true for most of us, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And I think our struggles many times are to try to practice what we preach ourselves, and what we proclaim that we actually live and put into practice ourselves. And the fact that Paul could boldly say that, and not only that, but to put it into print, to where he could say that in a letter, and he says, those things that you've seen in me, do. Whereas I think some of us, we'd be, you know, do this that I do and this, but you know, I'm not a really a very good example in this. I'm really not a very good example in that. And so that's definitely something that we could aspire to. The other thing that we could emphasize would be the second half of that verse where he gives the promise. And the God of peace shall be with you. And we could really emphasize that, and that's a tremendous blessing just to know that God's with us, you know. I'll tell you something, just knowing that God's with us and having a sense of the presence of God, having a sense of the favor of God, can actually embolden you to do things that you never would have dreamed you could ever done before. But then there's that little word in the middle. It separates those two things. And that one word is the one that I want to kind of tie things together and close us out with today. And that's that one word, do. Do. Man, what a simple word. Do. Real easy to define. Doesn't take a lot of hermeneutics, doesn't take any great commentaries to figure that one out. Do. Oh man, what a tough word. Oh man, now I actually got to go and do? No, it's more comfortable to talk, you know? More comfortable to study, you know? It's more comfortable to do to just do? You know, to get out there and do it. I remember I said I remember and then I coughed and it's gone, man. Thank God for outlines. I'm just going to move on. There was a meeting not long ago And Corey, you were in that meeting, right? And there were things said. There were resolutions made. There were notes taken. And one of the girls said, you know, all of this, nothing's ever going to happen. They're not going to do anything like that. And I'm sure maybe Corey, maybe you heard that the first time, and you say, man, that's a cynical thing to do. But then you looked and you say, man, nothing was done. You know, I think that's the way we get sometimes, you know. It's real cool to talk, you know. It's real cool to proclaim. It's real cool to resolve. But then it actually comes down to doing. And that's what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes. Because if we haven't resolved to do something, then what's this meeting been for? Yeah, it's been a waste. You know, we've had some good food and some sports and some fellowship and getting a little bit of reunion going on and getting to see how everybody's doing and having that bond, you know. And all of those things are good, you know, they're profitable and they help out. But really, why did we come together if we're not going to do something about it? And I find in my spirit, especially as I start getting older, or maybe it's not age at all, because I've got a neighbor, his name is Tito, and he's got to be into his 90s. No, Tito's probably in his late 80s. And I'm telling you what, that guy hates chainsaws, he hates anything motorized, he's got himself a little pruning saw and his little hatchet, and he has cleared 10 acres of land. Of course, he has no job, you know, so he's got time to clear 10 acres of land by hand. But, I mean, age, no excuse. I'm almost embarrassed. Oh, you know what, man, I'm slowing down a little bit. You know, we're getting older. And it would be embarrassing to use that excuse. Man, go talk to Caleb. Talk about age to Caleb, you know. Now, maybe he was blessed with genetics, you know. And it sure isn't everybody that could say at 80 years old, you know, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. But it is an inspiring thing. And I don't know that we can blame it on that. I think a lot of our problems are of our own choosing. They're of our own making. So the one thing that we've really got to, we've got to stop blaming other stuff. You know, we got to stop blaming the government for everything. You know, government is a favorite whipping boy for anybody that wants to complain about anything. But, you know, I'm saying thank God for our government. You know, our government is screwed up. But, man, I tell you what, our government came through for me one time when I needed some help, when I didn't have any other place to turn, when there was absolutely no other option for me. There was a government agency that came in and stepped in and helped us out. And so we got to stop blaming the government. We got to start blaming external factors. You know, we got to own up to our problem. You know, and we got to resolve to do. Now that's the other thing. You know, if you're prone to procrastination like I am, then I would like to amend that word and say do tomorrow. I'll make my list, and you can bet Monday morning, man, I'm going to be out of that starting gate. And I laugh at myself because, you know, I kind of yo-yo back and forth, you know, and I kind of pick up a little weight and then drop a little weight and then pick up a little weight. And you might, and somebody told me once, Brian, I've never seen you fat. And yet, you put 15 pounds on me and I get real lethargic. I mean, it's amazing what the difference is, you know. And so I've resolved. And so because I resolved Monday morning, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to start eating more carrots and less donuts and all that kind of stuff and start feeling good. That gives me the liberty Saturday night to eat ice cream and eat chocolate chip cookies and to load up because Monday morning I'm going to do. Of course, you do that, and then Monday morning you're so sick. You say, "I can't go on a diet when I'm sick." You know, I got to wait a little longer. Well, I don't want to do tomorrow. In fact, we ought to resolve among ourselves that we ought to get something to do now, here, today. Amen. So, my question closing out would be, "What are you gonna do?" Okay, you've heard the messages. You've heard things. Maybe God's impressed something on your heart that hasn't even been preached. What are you going to do? Because it's worthless if we don't do something. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. God's given us opportunity to do stuff. We can't throw up our hands and say, man, I don't know what to do.
Right.
What do you mean you don't know what to do? First of all, you do have examples. These guys had Paul where he taught them some things. They learned some stuff. And believe me, man, I have learned some things in life, man, that I look back on, and although it's been hard, I thank God to this day. Thank you, Lord, for taking me through that lesson. Thank you, Lord, for helping me learn that. There are some things that I've received. Let me tell you, you don't have to learn everything the hard way. You don't have to. You don't have to be a drunk to help out a drunk. You don't have to have been lost in drugs in order to counsel somebody and help them get off drugs. Sometimes we use that. Oh, man, this guy right here, you know, he was a biker and a gang member and all this stuff, so he's the one that can actually go to the bikers and talk to them. Well, what about you? You can go talk to a biker, too. I remember that I was friends one time with a guy that rode with the Banditos, you know, and that, I guess that's a pretty good gang. You know, this guy looked like a ZZ Top clone, you know, with that big old long beard and everything, and apparently, the Banditos didn't pay him a lot of money, so he drove trucks with me, you know. And there we are late at night over the CB radio, you know, and he's thinking about things, and we're talking, and we're running to the same place. And I got to talk to him about the Lord, and I could have thrown up my hands and say, man, I can't talk to him about the Lord because I'm not. No, I'm telling you something, you can do some things.
Amen.
You ought to do some things.
Amen.
You ought to be. You ought to have a resolve.
Amen.
If you walk away from this meeting right here and you still don't care, then, man, you ought to ask God to help you to care.
Yeah.
There are times when I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, be honest with yourself. There's times when people stand up there and they preach their hearts out and I just stare at them with no amen and no nothing because I just don't care. Look, man, I'm tired. I got things to do. I got my own problems. You know, your message didn't touch me. I don't know what you know. But you ought to make yourself care.
Yeah.
You ought to realize what's at stake. Hey, we've seen what's at stake. You know, our churches, our families, our very existence is at stake. You know, this thing could dry up. You know, it could be an empty building, you know. There could be, you know, somebody else come in and take over this place. I mean, if we don't keep this thing alive, we got to do.
Yeah.
Let me talk to you about doing for a minute. The question is what are you going to do? One of the things that you don't want to do is to plan to overdo. You don't want to overdo. Because here's what's happened before with me. Get all emotional, get full of resolve, and decide that tomorrow I'm going to start reading 9 chapters of the Bible every day. But I forgot that my job requires that I actually leave the house by about 5:45 in the morning, and I don't get back home until 6, and then I'm helping the kids with homework, and then I'm helping the wife cook dinner, and I'm going over there to Alyssa's room and helping her. And that's not on top of the fact that if the radiator hose broke on the car that day, and you got to change the battery, and the lawn still needs to be mowed, and all these other things. Man, where am I going to get time to read 9 chapters of the Bible a day, you know? Somebody told me one time, said, you should not leave your house unless you've been in prayer for at least an hour. Whoa. You know, I got real convicted and I asked him, I said, okay, he said, and I've got a little plan here, you know, and so it had this little clock, you know, and it, for the first 10 minutes, it's intercession. For the second 10 minutes, it's petition. For the third 10 minutes, it's introspection, you know, and all this kind of stuff going around the clock. And I'm just looking at it with a deer in the headlights in my eyes. And I said, man, it's going to be good if I say, Lord, help me through the day. And I get into the car and I have all the right tools in my truck on that particular day, you know. And some people, man, they wake up and they're shaking the birds awake and they're all happy and singing. You know, some people aren't morning people. All right. So what I would say is that be realistic in your resolution to do. Be a little realistic, you know. You go so far overboard that you're going to resolve things that you can't possibly ever get done, and then you're going to get discouraged because you don't fulfill it. Now, some people would accuse me and saying, hey, man, come on, man, you got to aim high. You got to go over the top. You got to go for the gusto. You got to be the best, you know. But you got to be realistic, too. There's no way that I'm going to read 9 chapters of Matthew Henry, 9 chapters of the Bible, and before I leave the house, it ain't going to happen. But let me tell you something else. You really ought to be creative in your resolutions, because there's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's more than one way to get something done. I remember Bill made a comment, I've mentioned it before, but at the time, it really, not that you discourage me in general, brother, but he really discouraged me. Because I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, where is he getting all this stuff? And then he made a comment. He says, I was reading at work, and he's reading, you know, upper level psychology textbooks at work, you know. And I'm thinking, what? So I asked him, I said, what's going on? He said, oh yeah, I got court cases in the morning, but I have to be in the office all afternoon. He says, so I'm buying all these books and I'm reading all these things. He's getting PhDs in all kinds of different subjects. And I'm like, man, and I thought I did good because I got all Psalm 137, you know, before I left the house, you know. Okay, there's 2 decisions you can make if you're in a position like that. You can despise the one that's doing a good work. I could say, Bill, that's a weirdo, you know. He doesn't know what it's like for the working man. You know, he's up there. John's over there in the morning watching the sun come up, drinking, I guess that's what you do, drinking coffee, reading the Bible. My brother's a full-time pastor up there in New York, and I don't read his Facebook page anymore because it's just too discouraging, because he's there and he posts a picture of the sunrise, you know, and he says, I'm in my chair, kids are still asleep, I got my coffee, and I'm ready for the day with my Bible, you know, and I'm going to read till 10. Oh, shut up, you know. So the reaction could be, forget it, man, it's not possible, I can't do it, you know. And then you can just resign yourself to the fact that you're never going to get that Bible read. You're never going to learn any doctrines that are worth learning. You're never going to do any of these things. Or you could get creative. And I tell you what, thank God for modern technology. I'm telling you what, I got a phone right here. Man, you got a laptop. Who's saying that you got a laptop now with Matthew Henry? Man, I got a phone with Matthew Henry and the King James Bible on my phone, man. And I can press a button and I can lay it down and it'll read it to me. So I don't have to drive down the road going to work anymore, you know, doing this number. Back when I was a trucker, I had 3x5 cards and I'd tape them under my CB, and then I would memorize whatever was on that 3x5. I gave it a goal to myself. I'm going to memorize whatever's on these cards before I get to my next stop. So I'd be sitting there reading, memorizing. Man, I tell you what I do now. I can read just as much as you can now. In fact, I read more. I read the whole book of Isaiah the other day, brother.
While you were asleep.
Yeah, but I fell asleep with the Word of God in my ear. No, actually, what I was going to say is that I read it on the way into work. Now, I can't read the Bible a lot during, you know, in between, because too much is going on, too much to think about and everything. But sometimes, man, I live way on the south side. If my first stop is at 260 and there's heavy traffic, man, you can bet I'm going to be on the road at least an hour. That's an hour of the Word of God. Okay, here's the point. The point is, you can resign yourself to the fact that, hey, man, they just don't understand my situation. There's really nothing I can do. Man, I'm telling you, there is always something that you can do to get closer to God. What your job is to find out what it is and make a resolve, put it on a piece of paper if you have to, write it on your mirror. This is what I'm going to do. Make it realistic, but look a little farther down in that passage. This is an incredibly misused verse where he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, the world actually loves to quote that verse because it's a great self-improvement verse. At least the world thinks it's a self-improvement verse. And yet, if you look at the verses before it, Paul's talking about the fact that he has learned to be either dirt poor with nothing or having all things, you know, and having a lot of possessions. He can handle both. And believe me, people can't handle both. We can see it from the lottery. I didn't believe it when I first started investigating it, that lottery winners could really be broke. Come on. Man, if I could get the chance to prove them wrong, I would show them, you know. But truth is, I'd probably get high and mighty, and I'd start buying things that I don't need, and I'd start getting dependent upon stuff, and I'd start getting that adrenaline rush that you get when you actually purchase something brand new and not from the thrift store or from a garage sale or from a hawk shop.
Amen.
Yeah, maybe I'd change too. But that's not what that verse is talking about. That verse is talking about, you know, being able to handle whatever God sends your way. And I can do, you know. Don't make a goal that you can't reach, but by the same token, don't sit there and resolve, I'm going to read one verse out of Psalms every day. If you can do more, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Listen, is it God's will for you to be a more godly man?
Amen.
Well, then you can probably do more than what you're resolved to do. I know that sounds like a contradiction. I just said don't set your sights too high. But man, good grief, don't set your sights too low either.
Amen.
And man, I loved, I don't even remember who said, I loved what I heard today about those who complain about the situation but don't want to do anything about it. Oh man, is that me sometimes or what? That's you? Golly, we love to whine and complain about stuff. And when actually, I'm telling you, there's a lot that ain't in our control, that's not in our control, but there's a lot that is. Your marriage to your wife doesn't have to stay stagnant if you can do something about it. You know, your kids don't have to stay estranged if you can do something about it, you know? And there's some things that we can do. So I would encourage you to set a mark, a realistic mark, a mark for something that you can do based on what you heard today, and then make a tangible plan to get it done. It's called taking a step. You know, you just take a step. Okay, I don't know what the path holds. You know, don't resolve that, you know, I can't even think of the example I was trying to think of, but you know what I'm talking about. Make a plan. Set a goal. Do something. You might come up with the argument, well, what if I do isn't the right thing? But you know, God's able to redirect you.
Amen.
It's almost better to do something and make a mistake than to do nothing.
Amen.
You do nothing. You know, we see images of that in the book of Proverbs all the time. You know, what about the image of that old boy sitting in his house and he won't go out of his house because there may be a lion in the street? You know, so you say, man, I'm not going to go out there and preach the gospel because there may be an adversary. Well, you already know that there's going to be.
Amen.
You know, let God handle those things. Look, you've got incredible examples. You know, and by the way, it's not, there are some who tell, and I talked to one guy one time, and he says, I just read the Bible alone without anything else, and I just let God direct me. He said, and I ignore everything else. I said, what are you talking about? I said, do you read anything outside of the Bible? He said, I don't read Matthew Henry because I don't want him to influence my thinking. And I'm thinking, oh man. Of course, you can probably understand he had some pretty weird doctrines. Hey, you know something? I'll tell you something about me. I need Matthew Henry. I don't agree with everything he has, but I need Matthew Henry. I need some outside reading. I need some examples. I need some other brothers and sisters. I need some godly examples. I need someone that I can look at. And there are times when I look at something that somebody else is doing or something else, something that somebody else has got, and I say, you know what? That's good. I like that. I want to be like that. Kind of like that brother stood up last night and I don't know, what did he compare you to? Tim Tebow or what was it? Some football? Or whatever, yeah. Mike Lonka?
No, Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears. I don't follow college football, so I don't know.
Man, that guy saw something in you, and he was like excited, right?
It looks that way.
So if you don't have...
It looks that way.
If you don't have that in yourself, man, you can sure look for an example. And man, we've got some examples around here.
Find somebody. Find something that you can emulate. Find something that you can do. You know, if you have to, break it down into steps, you know. If you make a list of 40 things that I resolve to do this week, you're probably not going to do it. You might be good just to get that one patient's deal taken care of, you know, and say, I'm going to work on this today. But, you know, if you make a list, I remember I did this one time. I made a list of a bunch of character flaws that I had inside myself that I felt like were really hindering the ministry. And I really wanted to kind of focus on some of those things. And so I picked one every day. And then I kind of went through the list and just, you know, kind of thought, reflected, found verses and did things like that. I tell you what, that was helpful. Listen, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not giving you an exact list of what to do. I think you're probably the best one to answer that for yourself. But man, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your church, for the sake of the gospel in San Antonio, do something.
Amen.
Something tangible, where you can say, this is what I'm doing today based on a resolution that I made yesterday.
And get it done. Look at James in chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only,
amen,
deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, I think that sometimes, you know, forgetfulness can actually have a physiological root to it, you know, like attention deficit disorder. You know, I like to think that I have that. It would be so convenient if I had a psychological condition to blame my, you know, faults on, but... You know what I really think? I really think that I just, you forget about things that aren't important to you.
Right,
you know, they just kind of fly away. They go out. I've learned that in my job, that everything has to get down in print. You know, if it's a meeting, if it's a follow-up, if it's something, I cannot trust myself to remember to do it. I just can't trust myself because with all of the things coming in and out, it's not going to get done. But man, if it's written on a notepad with that day stamped on it, and I've got to look at that pad that day, then I'm going to look at it right there. Oh yeah, I remember, you know, put that on there. And so in my schedule book, I put appointments, I put follow-ups, I put things that have to be ordered, I put estimates that have to be turned in, I put all these things. Man, maybe I need to put some things on there too so that I can remember today is time to be godly. Today, you need to do this and put some spiritual goals on there too. Because we're going to be prone to forget. In fact, this is actually rebellion that he teaches right here when someone looks into this word. It's like looking at his natural face in a glass. There are a lot of people that they won't go to church and they won't read the Bible because it says it makes them feel bad. Well, let me tell you, when I first started coming to this church, some churches, they want people to make them feel good, right? We want our visitors to feel good. But let me tell you, there's sometimes we want our visitors to feel bad.
We don't want, I remember a girl came in here one time and she came into the meeting and she was wearing a dress so short that there was very little imagination, and she sat on the front row, and by the way she was sitting, you knew exactly what she was doing. And when they went to talk to her about it, you know, she was very offended by it and everything else. And so she came back the next meeting and had another dress just as bad. You know, there, you can tell that she wasn't willing to change, you know, that she was, that there was no desire in her part to do anything about her particular condition. But, you know, when we look into that perfect law of liberty, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see ourselves. We're going to see our weaknesses. We're going to, I remember one time I wanted to put a photo on Facebook, and it happened to be one of those that had me in it. And Matthew said, Dad, hold on. And I said, what's wrong? And he says, I want to fix it up a little bit. To what he's talking about. He says, let's put this thing on Photoshop. He says, let me show you what I can do. And so he put it on Photoshop, man. And I'm thinking, man, that Photoshop is a, man, I started hauling out pictures from years ago. I said, man, Photoshop this. I said, can you Photoshop that? You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, you can make an ugly man look good. Seriously. But it's not reality, is it? Man, I'd have loved to put that Photoshop picture on Facebook so everybody could, you know, see that the pecs were still up where they were supposed to be in the six pack, you know, and I, but you know, maybe it's better that they see the 3-liter bottle rather than the six pack, you know. At least it's real, it's honest, you know. Hey, I'm telling you something, when you look into this perfect law of liberty, there's no Photoshop involved. There's no, and you walk away and you want to Photoshop, you want to make your own image of yourself, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to deceive yourself. And we're good at it, aren't we?
Amen.
Are we good at justifying our sins?
Amen.
Are we good at kind of giving ourselves a break but being hard on other people?
Yeah,
yeah, we'll come down on your sin, but don't you dare come down on mine.
Amen.
I'll talk all day long about homosexuality because it's not my sin. But don't start talking about procrastination, pride, slothfulness, laziness, anger, any of those other things, because, you know, then you're starting to hit close to me. You know, let's keep the stuff that I don't have to get convicted about. But sometimes it's hard to read this. But man, some of these messages have been hard because I'm thinking, man, that's me. And there's this general resistance. No, I don't want to change. You know, or no, I can't change. But the truth is we've got to let this book change us. And we got to let it change us. We're preaching to other people and we're telling them this book can change your life. Then it ought to change ours too. Man, I tell you what, I've been listening to these messages, and I don't want to be the same man Monday morning. You think, well, you know, revival doesn't last forever. You're going to make these resolutions, and then eventually you're going to have to make them again. Yeah, I'm going to have to make them the rest of my life. And yeah, maybe I get revived, and maybe next year I get backslidden again. But let me, I can't stop trying to get better. I can't
Amen.
Stop fighting, and neither can you.
Amen.
We got to do. Something tangible, something concrete, something we can put our hands on. You know, I don't like a lot of theory, you know. I like guys that can do. And it used to be, we used to interview guys, and we used to interview him across the desk. Let me tell you, interviewing a technician across a desk is the most useless interview in the world. Hey, can you hang crayon molding? Yeah, man, I can do crayon molding all day long. Can you fix repairing a sheetrock and make it disappear so that nobody can tell where that repair was? All day long, and I love doing it, you know? And you're thinking, man, this is our guy, man, these are good. But then you hear a call from the client, and he says, hey, you know, your gentleman came over today and repaired our sheetrock, and I'm not trying to be critical or anything, but, and then the wife says, it looks like a 2-year-old did it. That's why we interview in the field. And I tell him, hey, you know, hook up with Carl and go with him for the day. And then at the end of the day, I haven't even hardly seen this guy. I call Carl and I say, so Carl, what do you think? He says, he's lazy. He doesn't do anything. He's, you know, whatever it is. And then you really tell where somebody is. You can really tell what somebody's about. Ties into this last verse I have right here. If you look in Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 23. Look, don't Photoshop yourself.
Don't deceive yourself and think that you're better than what you're not. Man, if your spiritual life stinks, just own up to it and say, man, my spiritual life stinks. If you've been lazy, if you've been lustful, if you've been prideful, just admit it, you know, and go to the Lord with it. You don't even have to tell us what's going on, you know.
Amen. We don't
have to list our laundry list of sins, but man, you got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so embarrassed, but I here I am your child, but I act like this and I think like this and I know it's wrong, and Lord, you got to help me. And then make some tangible changes.
Amen.
You know, I knew a guy. There was one time hooked on pornography, you know, and he was like, oh, pray for me, you know, that I'd be able to beat this sin. And I said, well, to me, there's a real easy way to beat it, and that's to get rid of the cable in your house that's providing all that trash to begin with. Oh, no, but you don't understand. I need it to stay connected, and I need it for this, and I need it for that. And I just told him, I said, you know what, then tomorrow you're still going to be hooked on pornography. Unless you take action. Let you do something tangible and say, you know what? I love you more, Lord, than I love these images on this computer. And you cut that thing and cancel that contract. And so you don't have internet. You know, we're one of the few people in our neighborhood that doesn't have satellite internet. You know, and it's causing a problem with the kids because they go to class and now they don't give them textbooks anymore. My kids have iPads. And they got to get online and they got to go on the internet every night. And it used to be they read books. They don't do that anymore, you know. They get stuff off of Wikipedia and things like this, you know. And we don't have internet, so they go and they have to tell them, you know, we have to go do our homework at McDonald's where there's a hotspot, you know. What I'm saying is you do whatever you got to do.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Are you serious about solving some of your problems?
Yeah.
Is there a heart that you want to do something better than you did before, that you want to learn a doctrine? Then what are you going to do?
Amen.
Find something to do. Now look at this. It says in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. This is actually tacked on to verse 22 where it's talking about servants obeying their masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. But it expands it there in verse 23 to whatever you do. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I got to work on this. I'm not naturally a real bubbly, you know, rah, 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 cheerleader kind of guy. You know, it's just not really my nature. You know, I used to get real convicted of it when I worked with Steve, you know, because Steve was just all huggy and all brother and all love and kisses and birds singing and blue skies and all that. And I was like, man, I tried to be like that, but it really came really weird. it was kind of dysfunctional, so I stopped trying to do it. God's not necessarily going to save you out of your personality, you know. Everybody's different. But you ought to do things heartily.
Amen.
I'll give you an example of a guy that no longer works with us as of last Saturday. He wasn't doing anything wrong. Well, I hope he's not working for us. I better check the logs and make sure. But I came around the corner because here we are. We're pouring concrete, right? And we're laying paving stones and we're doing all this stuff. And so I was actually on the job on this particular one. And I told this guy, I said, you need to keep feeding us with gravel and sand. You just need to keep feeding it to us. Just feed it to us. And so he did. But that was coming real slow. So I finally walked around to the front of the building in order to try to inspire him or figure out, you know, what's going on? Why is our sand coming so slow? And so he had I have a little shovel that has a handle about this long for when the hole gets so deep, you know, that you got to get in there and square out the bottom. And he was like this. Well, I'm going to simulate it because he was cross-legged on the ground and he was doing this. I know you guys are shocked. He was sitting down on the ground shoveling sand. Was he doing what I told him to do? Absolutely. He was shoveling sand. That's what I told him to do. But he wasn't doing it heartily. He didn't have his mind into it. I don't know. Maybe he thought it was beneath him. And you know, brother, when you were talking about servanthood, there's a lot of things in life people think are beneath them. Brother John thought it was beneath. I don't even know if it was you. Was it you?
Yes. Yeah, but to my credit, I went back in there. You told me to get back in there and do it.
Yeah, that's right. I told him where the plunger was, and I said, please get it done.
I don't think he said please.
Oh, probably not.
But I tipped him off.
You're welcome.
Hey, man, how about some heartiness, you know? Man, them guys were out there today, and that's where I got my last point from. You know, Corey's out there, and they're all out there, and they're just playing, you know, and I'm sitting there watching them, you know, and just the action and the enthusiasm. And Corey just makes this offhanded comment. He says, man, I hate playing with people that don't want to win. And sometimes, you know, if that competitiveness makes you angry and hard to live with, then we don't want you around either, you know. It's got to be a little fun. That's why they call it sports, you know. It's supposed to be fun. But at the same time, you know, what fun is it to be around somebody that's just kind of, you know, that guy shoveling sand, is he going to inspire anybody else, man? I said, come on, man, get rid of that shovel. Get this thing. And I said, by the way, I said, if this had happened on any other job site in America, you'd have not only walked right now this second, but you'd have probably had bodily harm done to you at the same time. You know, working men, they see a sandbagger a mile off and they despise him, you know. And, you do something heartily like that, man, it can inspire others. And you resolve to do something, and man, what you resolve to do starts working out for you, and it starts helping you out, and your life starts getting better. And so you start coming to the open meetings, and all of a sudden, our open meetings are no longer an apology meeting for everybody to apologize. Oh man, brother, I didn't do this week and that. But oh man, was the Lord good? The Lord did this week, and the Lord did that this week. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. If you're going to resolve to do something, man, put everything you got into it. Put everything you got into it. Make it your project, you know. Make it your resolve. Make it something that you're going to succeed at, that you're going to do. My point's very simple. Take something that you heard today. Put it into your life. And do it and make it better. Because it's not till you do it that it actually takes effect. I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody said you got to do something for about 10 weeks in order to make it a habit. I always kind of get to the place where I can do something all the way up till about 9 or 8, you know. So I don't know if that's true or not, but man, we got a lot of bad habits, and it's going to take us a while to get some of those bad habits out.
Amen.
You're a complainer. Maybe you're on your list should be that I'm going to say something positive about the Lord Jesus Christ in public every
Amen.
Day. You know, maybe you're prone to cussing. You know, maybe you're going to resolve that, man, that stuff, that filthy stuff isn't going to come out of your mouth anymore. You know, maybe you're prone to other things. Maybe you got other problems in your life. Maybe you got relationship troubles. Maybe, you know, there's some things. Maybe you're the one that's been hanging back in the open meeting and not sharing. So maybe you're going to resolve to do something like maybe every fourth or fifth week. To share in the meeting. I don't know what it is, but I know that you know.
Amen.
Oh, you know.
Amen.
So let's do it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us this meeting. Lord, thank you for these men here. Thank you for them being willing to take time Friday night and Saturday out of their busy, busy schedules to come here and meet. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the things that we need to be able to do what you've called us to do. Lord, we see a lot of lack in our life. We see a lot of things that need to be changed. And Lord, we are definitely not where we're supposed to be. We see it, Lord. We see it in our churches. We see it in ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, give us the courage, the strength, the fortitude, the resolve to do those things that you've convicted us of. And Lord, bless our families, bless our churches. Lord, help us in these last days to shine for you like we've never shined before. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for coming.
Amen.